In the 8:45 service, as y'all know, we have a small section of for children's corners to allow them to participate in the services. And occasionally it might be just Leah, and it was this morning. And so I will ask questions. And the question this morning was this one. If you could meet anyone, who would it be? And you would think that obviously she would say Jesus. Obviously she would say somebody out of the Bible. She didn't say that at all. It said Dove Cameron. Well, if it was me, I would have said Moses. Okay? Don't judge people. Here's the deal. You know, when we think about something like that, we think of someone who's important to us right now. And so we started asking some questions. I said, why did you like her? Because she's a good actress, okay? Would you go and see her if she came to town? Oh, yeah. If she came to town, I'd go see her. But then I asked this question. I said, where was she born? I don't know. What are the names of her parents? I don't know. How old is she? I don't know. And the more I could ask more questions that she wouldn't have an answer to. And so the point is that we often think people are important because we just like what they do, what we can see. But we really don't know that person. This morning, I want to quickly touch on this sermon called Seeing Jesus. Seeing Jesus. And in way of introduction, I want to ask three questions or make three statements. The first one is this: how we see, and see is in quotes, things is important. Because how we see things, our perspective on things, will shade the way that we act. In John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17, God asked Peter three times. He says, do you love me? He says, Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And the first time he says, I love thee, Lord. And he says, feed my sheep. And the next verse, he asked him a second time, Simon Peter, lovest thou me? And Peter says, you know I love you. I love you, Lord. Feed my lambs. And then he goes on a third time. We preached on this a couple of nights ago. Simon Peter, lovest thou me? And Simon kind of starts protesting. He says, you know that I love you. You know all men. He says, I love you. He says, feed my sheep. And if you go and you do a deeper Bible study on that, and there's a commercial out talking about the different Greek words for love, Christ is talking about agapeo love, self-sacrificing love, a love that sent him to the cross. And Christ is expecting all of us to love the same way back. But when Peter responds, he responds with philia. He doesn't respond at the same level of love. And that causes Peter to act the way he acts. Because his love is not the same level as God's love. So he's not going to love the same way that Christ loves. So how we see things is important. We often see the same thing differently. There's another commercial out there where there's two guys laying on the hood of a car and looking up at the clouds. And one guy's an insurance agent. And the other guy is saying, hey, I see that cloud. That cloud looks like this. He says, no, it's like a burglar robbing your house. And the issue is that we see things through our prism. We see things through your perspective. I'm wearing maroon again today. I like maroon, but I don't like Texas A&M. See, other people will think that because I'm wearing maroon, I obviously must, I'm in Texas, I must like Texas A&M. It doesn't matter. I could wear burnt orange. Doesn't mean I like UT. Amen. I like burnt orange, okay? But the issue is, it's we often see the same thing differently, and we put our perspective on it. Back in the Old Testament, when the nation of Israel came up to the Promised Land, they sent in spies to spy out the Promised Land. And the spies went in, 12 went in, and they found the land exactly like Christ, or like God said it was there. They brought back these grapes, these clusters of grapes on a rack. And said exactly that. And then they said, but there's giants there. We can't take the land. And so because of their disbelief, God sends them into the wilderness and says, anyone from 20 years old and upward is not going to go in. And over 600,000 people die. And they don't get to see Promised Land. But as they go into the wilderness and they start this journey that God has sent them on, there's issues. And there's issues with leadership. And there's a person by the name of Korah. And he gets 250 dudes with him, and they basically come up to Moses and Aaron and they said, hey, you know, we're just as good as you. And this is the way we see things. And in Numbers chapter 16, verse 3, it says, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you. And then here's their perspective. Now, God has already told Moses several times. He says, stand away that I could destroy all of them and consume all of them, and I'll make of you another nation. And so God is calling them stiff-necked people. And the issue is, it's a matter of perception. God's perception is often a lot different than man's perception. Here's an entire nation that has basically denied the promise of God, denied the power of God, and basically turned their back on God. And now they're coming in here and they said, we're okay. We're okay, it says here. He says, seeing all the congregation are holy. Well, if they were all holy, why aren't they in the Promised Land? If they're all holy, why are they all going to die in the wilderness? And God's going to have to start over. And then I said, to make it plain, it says, every one of them. Now, we know the book. And we know that they're not as holy as they think. And oftentimes we think that we're better than what we really are. Oftentimes we think that some people is even worse than what we are. Or maybe better than what we are. But it doesn't matter what our perception is or what God thinks. It says here, it says, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Well, yeah, he was with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He was leading them through the wilderness because they didn't listen the first time. But they're living in God's mercy, not his blessing. And it says, wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. You know, God had an answer for this one. And so Moses is standing in front of them and says, okay, you think this way. He said, we'll see if God, what God thinks of this. And if God will do a new thing, like open the earth up and swallow you up, then you know who's God's and who's not. And we know the rest of the story. The earth opened up and sucked up all of Korah and all those that were rising up against Moses and Aaron. See, we often see the same thing differently. They thought they were okay. God said a whole different thing. And his judgment brought on a whole different thing. The other thing is, especially in spiritual things, we need to see eye to eye with God. We need to see eye to eye with God. There are churches now that are ordaining people that are in sin as the Bible declares it. There are people saying that homosexuality is a lifestyle. No, God calls it a sin. Amen. They're saying it's okay to live together. No, God calls that adultery. And he said, you can come to church, you can do whatever you can, because we feel that this is the way God is now. Well, we learned Wednesday night, I am the Lord, I change not. Amen. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, and here's a great verse to memorize to counter those arguments. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. It's not what you think, it's thus saith the Lord. It's what His Word says. That is truth. That is the standard. And it is important on how we think, because it makes us who we are. It is important that we see things the same way that God sees it. It is important that we are on the same page with God. So this morning I want to share three requirements or three conditions in order for us to clearly see Jesus. And in each one of these verses, each one of these passages, the word see appears. And we're going to define it as the way it was written. And we're going to see what we really need to see with Jesus. So the first thing is, if you want to see Jesus, you need to have an earnest desire to see Him. In John chapter 12, verse 21, and it says, the same came therefore to Philip. Now we need to do a little bit of study here and see what the same is. You go back one verse, and it says, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Now, we could go and we can read through the book of Acts, and when Paul was at Athens, he wrote a commentary on the Greeks. He said that the Greeks, all they really wanted to do is have wisdom. And they heard some new thing. That's what they really were all about. And this time of this chapter takes place on Palm Sunday, where the crowd in Jerusalem has gathered, and Christ has had His entry into Jerusalem, and they're saying, Hosanna, blessed is He that come in the name of the Lord. And there's a large crowd there. And the Greeks are saying, is this Jesus guy? We want to see Him. So it says the same, so these Greeks, they come to Philip, which was one of the 12, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Now, there are many things that can fuel our desire to see Jesus. There's many reasons why people do the things they do. The first one might be just curiosity. Oh, they came to Jesus so they could learn about the Messiah. No, if you go to the Greek and you translate it out, the word see is to have an interview with. See, we could see this on TV all day long. People interview all the political candidates. They interview all the government. And what they want to find out things about them. But we know today that their questions are slanted one way, aren't they? Folks, when we see Jesus, it's not about curiosity. It's not about the way you want Jesus to be in your life. No scripture, no prophecy of scripture is of what? Private interpretation. We need to come and ask Him wisdom. He's going to give us wisdom, but we need to accept it, what that is. And so a lot of people, I think there's a lot of people in church today, say, I'm curious. I'm seeking. Some people call them seekers. But folks, I'm telling you, there's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's not to think that, well, I'm going to see how this religion is versus this religion. It's not about curiosity. That's not an earnest desire to see Jesus. You know, There's people that do what they do just to be part of the crowd. In verses 17 of this chapter, it says this: then the people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave, raised him from the dead, bear record. In verse 18, it says, for this cause the people also met him. So they're part of the crowd because they had heard of this miracle worker. And they wanted to see something to tantalize their eyes. They wanted to see something they'd never seen before. For they had heard that he had done this miracle. And it made the Pharisees mad too. It says, the Pharisees therefore said to themselves, perceive ye how they'll prevail nothing? Behold, the world is going after him. I wish so. Because Christ is the cure for the world.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life.
Amen.
God came into the world. He came into his own, but his own received him not. And people go places and do things and act one way because they want to be part of the crowd. No, that's not an earnest desire. Just a simple curiosity is not going to let you learn about Jesus. Just be part of a church congregation is not going to let you learn about Jesus unless you listen. And the issue is that, you know why? Because the crowd is fickle. They could act one way this way on this day and act a totally different way on the next. I said this was the last week of Christ's life. These are the ones that are saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Less than a couple of days later, they're going to say, crucify him. They just had an earnest desire to see something. They didn't have an earnest desire to see the man, the God-man, Christ. You know, there is a valid reason. It's to have Christ meet an unmet need in your life. But we even get this wrong. We pray that God give us health. God, give me finances. God, give me wealth. God, give me this. God, give me that. God, give me this. And we want to see Jesus on a superficial level. And God, as long as you're doing what I want you to do, as long as I perceive that you're blessing me, I want to follow you. But the moment you stop doing that, I'm stopping following you. And that's why not everybody's in church today. Because they don't hear what they want to hear. They don't see what they want to see. So I'm going to go someplace else that'll give me that. I'll be around other people that will give me that. That's not an earnest desire to see Jesus. See, there is a real reason. I preached this before and I'm going to preach it and keep on preaching it. God needs to fix us. If he fixes us, he will fix our circumstances. He says, clean the inside of the cup and the outside of the cup will be clean. God deals with the issue of the heart. And that's what we need to see Jesus. David said, cleanse my heart. Purge me. Search my heart. Do all these things. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Because if you're just a curiosity seeker, you're going to turn your back on him. If you're just part of the crowd, you're going to turn your back on him. If you're looking for superficial things and blessings like that, you're going to turn your back on him. He wants people that will stand with him. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. See, Paul got it right. Paul got it right. He was Saul and he was a religious man. He figured out that wasn't working. And then he met Christ on the Damascus Road. And then he goes and he says a verse that we quoted a lot Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. That is an earnest desire. And the power of his resurrection. I don't want God to fix my circumstances. I want him to fix me. He died on the cross for me. He rose again for me. He gives me power for me. He gives me a home in heaven because of his power. Not about me. Not by works of righteousness that I have done, but by his grace he hath saved us.
Amen.
That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. And folks, when we have an earnest desire to see Christ, we will have faith and we will exercise faith. Because in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says this, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Not your way, his way. For he that what? Cometh to God. Well, when God tells me what to do. No, you need to go to him and listen to him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is what? God. He is God. Wednesday night. If you weren't here, you missed one. He talked about all the things about Christ and that he's God. That cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a what? Rewarder of them that what? Diligently seeking. More than a curiosity. More than hanging out with a crowd. Someone is earnestly. More than fixing you superficially. One is going to fix you on the inside out. That's an earnest desire. Sirs, we would see Jesus. How earnest is your desire today? Is it curiosity? Is it part of being a crowd? Or is it deep down inside? I want God in my life. Secondly, so we need a desire because how we see things is important, right? How we see things is important. It's going to motivate us to do certain things. But when we see Christ, we've got to see him with the proper vision. We've got to see eye to eye with God. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but we see Jesus. And then the writer of Hebrews, which I believe is Paul, says, okay, who made him a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor that he might, by the grace of God, should taste death for what? Every man. See, but we need to see Jesus as our Savior, but we also need to see Jesus as our Lord. But you're not going to see him as your Lord unless he's your Savior. And so this word for see is not to make an interview with. This word for see means to see with the mind's eye. It's actually a metaphor here. It's a see with your mind. It's not a physical thing. It's a mental thing. Why? So we can discern mentally. So we can understand. So to observe, perceive, discover, and understand. See, you could substitute the word understand for see here, but we understand Jesus who did all this for me. And that's having the proper vision. We put God in his proper place. We put ours in our place. And now we're seeing eye to eye. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, we covered this. Christ tells stories. He tells parables. And people who look on them superficially say, that's a nice story. Or he's a great storyteller. Or we're part of the crowd, we're just listening to stories. But see, what Christ is doing, he's fulfilling prophecy. And what they're doing by not understanding, they're fulfilling prophecy too. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they what? Seeing, see not. How many times have we gone looking for something in our house and it's been right in front of our eyes? Because you know why? Because we're really not looking for it. We say we're looking for it, but we're looking on the ceiling for something that's on the floor. And we'll just run right over top of it. Seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not. Neither Do they understand? Folks, if you want to see Jesus, you have to have an earnest desire. If you want to see Jesus, you have to have proper vision or you're not going to understand. It's not the way we think. It's the way he says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16, Paul writes, he says this, he says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of what? God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." There are too many people that call themselves Christians today that basically think that that gain is godliness. That success is godliness. No, my Bible tells me that what God desires is a contrite heart, a humble spirit. To seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things be added unto you. It's to seek those things. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual, verse 14. But the natural man, the carnal man, the worldly man, the man that's looking at curiosity, the man that's going with the crowd, not thinking for himself, not seeing God, not earnestly desiring to see him, not having the proper vision. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he what? Know them, for they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Folks, I'll tell you, I'll challenge you this. Look at everything that's happened in your life as an opportunity to serve God. Look at everything in your life as an opportunity for God to speak to you and to make you more like him. We need to see things God's way. It is important how we see things. We need to understand that we can see things differently than the way God sees them. We went through the book of James and talked about that. But we need to see things eye to eye with God. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Remember this, but we see Jesus. What is it? It's a mind metaphor. We see him in our mind. It's a mindset. We understand him. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Well, obviously God's much better than me. It says, but we... I want everybody to read this morning. But we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ won't go against God's word. The mind of Christ won't go against God's will. The mind of Christ won't do something that will hurt someone deliberately. The mind of Christ will not go against the character of God. And there's people today that say they're Christians and they're doing something that's explicitly sin in the Bible. It's wrong.
Right.
They don't have the proper vision. And their whole religion is flawed. All their belief is flawed. If your belief is flawed this morning, get it right.
Amen.
Get it in line with God's word. We need to have an earnest desire. We need to have a proper vision. And then lastly, we need to have a bright prospect. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says this. It says, behold, John gets it. It says, behold, what manner of love. Have you ever thought about how much God loves you? Have we really comprehended that? Do we have a desire to know more about him, that we may know him in the power of his resurrection? Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Look at that position. Look at what he's given to us. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Are we the sons of God? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him. For what? For we shall see him as he is. You know, he's on the throne in heaven, high and lifted up, and his train fills the thing. He is God incarnate. He is the God creator. He is the omnipotent, omniscient God.
Amen.
Omnipresent God. He loves me. We sing the kids' song, Jesus loves me, this I know. Really? If we really know that he loves us, it should change the way we act. It should change the way we act. The word for see here means to have eyes wide open. As in being struck with awe and wonder. Have you ever gotten that present? Might be in a little box, might be in a bigger box. And you've been anticipating this all year. And you get the box and you open it up and you see the gift and you're in awe with the gift and it makes you love the giver. Folks, we need to understand how much God loves us so we love him. Here in his love, not in that he first loved us, but that he, not that we first loved him, but that he first loved us. We need to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Wide open eyes with awe and wonder. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, it says here, For we now see? Through a glass darkly, but then face to face. You know, when Moses was speaking with God, he spoke to him as a friend, spoke to him as face to face. It says so in Exodus. When he came down off the mountain, he was radioactive. He was like a glow stick. And he glowed. His presence glowed. And people were afraid of him because he was glowing. Moses, what happened to you? I saw God. Folks, we need the same thing in our lives. What happened to you? I see God. I see God. I see an opportunity to serve him. I see God. But now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. But I know in part. But then shall I know even also as I am known. You know yourself, right? You know every part of your body and how it feels today. You know intimately what's going on inside of you. But when we see Christ and we see him face to face, we're going to intimately know him like that. What a prospect that is. What a prospect that is. With wide open eyes, with awe and wonder. And John continues in his passage, it's something to get ready for. Now, probably most of us had a decent wedding. It may have been in a church. It may have been a formal affair. But what happened? When you got ready for the wedding, the groom was all decked out. The bride's all decked out. Our daughter is getting married here in a couple of months. It's driving me nuts. But she's bought her wedding dress. And her veil and all those things. And she's put them on. And she wants to get ready for her husband. I hope her husband doesn't wear jeans. But we'll see. But she's getting ready for this. He's getting ready for this date. You know something? When God calls us home, Christ calls us home, we're going to sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to be married to him. Ephesians chapter 5 says that he wants to present us, the church, as a bride without spot or wrinkle. Present us to himself without having spot or wrinkle or any blemish or any such thing. And if we have an earnest desire to find God, and we have the proper vision to see him, and to actually understand what he's doing in our lives, and to see the spirit of truth and see the spirit of error. And then we have this prospect. Then what 1 John chapter 3 verse 3 says is this. And every man that have this hope in him. What hope? That we will see him as he is. Purifieth himself even as he is pure. But I want to tell you some truths here. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this will not happen. You won't understand him. You have no hope. If you do know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then his will for our lives is that we understand him more and understand his love and have the proper prospect of what's going to happen in the future. And it should change our lives and help us be prepared to meet him. We should live our lives each moment as if Christ could call us home right then, right now. We could hear the trumpet right now in the next 30 seconds. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet him? Truly ready. It's not a curiosity. It's not being part of the crowd. It's not a superficial fixing of your external circumstances. Has God fixed you? Do you see Jesus this morning? We need to. Do you know him as your Savior? But have you made him your Lord? That's the goal. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I ask for this time of invitation. Fathers, help us, Lord, to surrender all to you. Lord, we just, if there's someone here who does not know you as Savior, Lord, today I hope that they would realize that you died on the cross for their sins, that you offer forgiveness, and that they would cry out to you and ask them for forgiveness of their sins. And that they would believe that you rose from the dead to show that you have power over sin and over the grave. And that you offer the free gift of eternal life, Lord, to all who would believe. That would cry out and they would receive that gift. Lord, I pray that you just help us, Lord, to see you in heaven. To live our lives as if we're prepared to meet you. Father, have an earnest desire to see you. To have the proper vision to see you. To have the hope of seeing you in the future. Lord, have this time of invitation for your glory and your honor. Father, I pray that you bind Satan on our behalf. I pray, Lord, that people will decide to follow you, that we will know you. Once again, we give you all the glory and honor and praise because you and you alone are worthy. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.